1 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 to 6. Ahab squirms. Ahab, his reaction under judgment. Now we know that he is under judgment. Samaria is under judgment. Drought. Famine. And after a long time, verse 1, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, go and present yourself to Ahab. Now, in the previous discourse, we see how Ahab met Obadiah, and I try to say a few things on Obadiah. But now we return to the main character here. Well, Elijah is the main character, God is the main character, but the other leading character, of course, is Ahab. What's Ahab doing here all this time? Now, the famine was severe in Samaria. And how did Ahab react? Well, he did react, and he was alarmed. Oh, yes, he was awakened. He knew there was danger, and he was frightened out of his wits. Ahab had summoned Obadiah, and he said, now, look, come on. We've got to go through the land. We've got to try and do something about this. We've got to try and overcome this famine and this drought. We've got to try and find water. And all the rest of it. Oh, yes, he's awakened. He's not sleeping now. This man is awakened. He's alarmed. But there is no repentance. There is no repentance. I read from 18, 1 to 6. Indeed, I can read all round. And I can't find Ahab ever sorry for his sins, ever reforming, ever repenting, ever returning to God, ever confessing his sin. It reminds me of Revelation, chapter 9, verses 20 to 21, chapter 16, verses 8 to 9, chapter 16, verses 10 to 11. Three times it says that under the judgments of God, the people grieved over their sores, they were angry, they resented it, and all the rest of it, but they refused to repent. When God judged them, they continue with their magic, their occult, their sins, their corruption. They refuse to repent. You get the same in Jeremiah 5, verse 3. You get it in Hebrews 12, verse 17. Esau could not change his mind. That they are stubborn. That they determined to go on the same way. Ahab is settled in his sin. Now, very serious word this morning. In this discourse, it's a very serious discourse here. Is really dealing with the unbeliever and his attitude to God and to his word and to his judgments. And although it's only very brief seed thoughts, they are very solemn concepts, and they come home with power, I hope. Ahab is alarmed. Am I speaking to an unbeliever who is alarmed under God's judgments? God is working in your life. He is showing you things. He is convicting you. You're awakened to it, but there's no repentance. You see, sometimes people do repent, Isaiah 26, 9 to 11, but very often they do not. Will you repent if God is speaking to you, if he's challenging you, if he's probing you, if he's convicting you? Has somebody said something to you? Have you heard a sermon? Has some memory come back to you? Has something happened to alarm you and bring you to be aware of God and your soul and eternity? Then close in with God while he is still with you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You see, Ahab is still killing the prophets. You get this in verse 4. Jezebel is still killing the prophets. Ahab's still up to it, up to his neck in it. And although he's concerned, he's more concerned about animals than men. He's still concerned, yes, but only about the body, not his soul. He wants food for his body and food for his animals. It's the material, not the spiritual, that he's interested in. Is this not true of you, unbeliever? It's this life, now, not eternity. This man living in a fantasy world, Alice in Wonderland. So many unbelievers are sleepwalking into eternity. They're living in a madness world. A fantasy world. As I say, Alice in Wonderland. The Greeks had a proverb for it. Whom the gods intend to destroy, they first drive mad. Ahab is insane here. He's thinking about his animals. He's thinking about water for them. He's thinking about his own body. Very big concerns. But what about the soul, Ahab? What about the state of the people spiritually? You see, he loves his sin. It's the consequences he doesn't like. That's not enough, unbeliever. It's not simply the consequences. We have to love God and hate our sin. You see, this man hates God, and he hates the preacher. He hates Elijah. He'll say, when he meets him in verse 17, "Oh, you're the troubler of Israel." No, no, Ahab's the troubler of Israel. This man has found, and he proves, although he won't recognize it, that all his false gods, the Baals, the Asherahs, the Molechs, whatever, they're useless. They're impotent. You get this in Isaiah 46. You have to carry the gods of Babylon, Bel and Nebo, but God carries his people. You'll find a sermon of mine on that. Do you get the joke? It's a wonderful joke. God mocks the idols. God mocks the false gods. He laughs at them. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have lips, but they can't speak. They've got tongues, they can't say anything. They're useless, and so is everyone who trusts in them. You see, Baal is useless here. You see, Baal is okay when the rain is coming and the crops are growing, but when it's drought, Baal can't bring grass and he can't bring water. False gods, false religion, well, religion of any kind, false spirituality, whatever that may be, is okay, you might think, when the sun is shining sweetly, but when it's beating down in drought and famine, it's useless, these false systems. Now is the time to seek the Lord. This is a word for the unbeliever. He's alarmed, Ahab, but no repentance. He's thinking more about the body, this life, animals, than he is about his soul and eternity. His false gods, they're useless. This is what he is. He's thinking about now and not eternity. Am I addressing anyone in that condition? Then learn from Ahab. May he serve a good purpose. In his life he didn't, but may the record of it serve a good purpose. What good purpose? May it awaken some poor sinner to their dreadful condition outside of Christ. And may they seek the Lord now, while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Now is the day of repentance. The goodness of God leads you to repentance, my friend. Romans 2:4. Will you repent? Will you return? Will you come to Christ now? I assure you, he will receive you. As I say, there are those who take a different line. If you go to 2 Chronicles 15, verse 1, you will find Asa, the king, is confronted by Azariah, the prophet. And Azariah has things to say to him, very much like Elijah with Ahab. But instead of being like Ahab, Asa repents and reforms. You see, it is possible, my friend. Will you be an Ahab? Or will you be an Asa? What do I mean? Will you go on in your sin like Ahab and refuse to repent and just chase about trying to cover up the consequences? Or will you be like Asa and turn to the Lord and reform and put things right by seeking the Lord now while he may be found, calling upon Christ even now as he is offered to you in the gospel? You know what I want for you. That's why I'm speaking this morning. That's why this discourse is coming over. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Learn from Ahab. This poor wretch shows his miserable state. Learn from him. Turn from him. And show a better spirit. May God arise and bless this word with power. Even convicting power to sinners. And may the saints feel some edification by it. May God be praised that he ever turned us, brother and sister, from our sins, and however feebly, made us call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. May God bless this discourse now, for Christ's sake. Amen.